At least 5 people were killed in Syria today by President Bashar Assad's security forces. This week, military defectors launched 2 grenade attacks on government buildings. Even Russia, one of Syria's remaining friends, worries out loud that that country is approaching civil war. Today, the French foreign minister called for more sanctions against the Assad regime, and that regime reportedly agreed to consider an Arab League observer mission. What's going on in Syria? What does it matter? Let's check in with Joshua Landis, director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. He writes the blog Syria Comment and joins us on the line from NPR member station KGOU in Norman, Oklahoma. Josh, welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
And we remember that the Arab League had threatened suspension of Syria. They had, 3 days to do something about this 8-month-long crackdown on pro-democracy dissidents. So is that what this offer from Syria to consider this observer mission is all about?
Yes, it is. They're under intense pressure. And this is a way to delay getting suspended by the Arab League.
Well, we understand that the Arab League, there's a little bit of a debate. They want to include human rights activists on this observer mission, and Syria doesn't.
Right. Syria, you know, I'm sure they'd be much happier with military observers or something like that, who theoretically would be less inclined to be anti-Syrian.
Yeah. Well, just remind us, Joshua, 8-month-long, it's sort of been in the back burner for many people. This pro-democracy protest that, you know, bloomed in the Arab Spring was not originally against the Assad regime. I mean, he was seen as, you know, in the context of the region, potentially more moderate. So what happened here?
Well, the Assad regime was very brutal.
Yeah.
And it cracked down on this uprising in the way that it has done in the past many times before. Now, you know, yes, for the first week, demands did not touch the president himself, but they quickly escalated, and we had seen that in the past. There was a Damascus Spring in about the year after Bashar al-Assad came to power in 2000. Within a week, demands were that we have to end dictatorship, end Alawite rule, and he cracked down on that very quickly.
Yeah.
Syrians want change.
Well, and Joshua, by the way, I should say, you ran to the studio to be there for us, and we really appreciate
Forgive me if I'm a little short-winded.
Yeah, take a second to catch your breath. And I'll just remind people that when you were here in the past, you said the key thing to watch in Syria was how long the military would remain loyal. Now, we're seeing these reports this week of, you know, military defectors launching grenade strikes. It's always been said that the military is key when there are these, you know, brutal repressive machines, regimes. What is your sense of, you know, we see these defectors. What does that represent?
Well, the bad news for this regime has been picking up pace, and that's particular in the last few weeks because we've seen increasing attacks on military bases, trucks, conveyors of the soldiers have been being hit. There's well over 1,000 Syrian soldiers have been killed so far, 4,000 protesters, maybe more. Mm. So, and then the Arab League has moved, the international community, sanctions are beginning to bite. Mazout fuel oil in Aleppo is almost unfindable. And it's unclear why that is exactly, whether the government is running out of money or whether the trucks that bring it to Aleppo from Banyas, Homs, are being attacked on the roads. And either way, it's very bad news. But the government, many people believe, is going to run out of money quickly because foreign sanctions are beginning to really bite,
and
it's been spending a fortune.
We just said the French foreign minister called for more sanctions today. The Turkish foreign minister agreed. The U.S., of course, imposing sanctions on Syria for the first time back in May. But last month, Russia and China vetoing a resolution condemning the violence at the U.N. Security Council. So,
well, Syria still has some friends, but they're very few. Of course, Iran. But Russia and China are key because they can veto UN Security Council, and that stands in the way of any kind of international action, military action against Syria. And following a Libya type, progression towards an over no-fly zone or anything else of that nature, the West needs the cover of an international agreement in the UN.
Well, given that, what do you make of these other words we're hearing? Yes, Russia might have vetoed a resolution condemning the Syrian regime in the UN, but we're hearing this week Russia saying, and I flippantly earlier referred to Russia as a Syria's BFF, but they are, you know, close allies. And Russia, even Russia said that they were worried about the crackdown and they felt that it looked like civil war. So is that an opening?
Well, the civil war thing, of course, is America immediately attacked Russia for saying civil war. America said it's not a civil war. This is a bad regime attacking innocent people who are not, this is not a civil war. Because Russia is trying to say, well, we've got to leave this alone. This is, some kind of an ethnic or religious war that we shouldn't get into. So there's that debate. Russia is standing by Syria for the moment.
Yeah. Well, and Russia's a big supplier of, the military
hardware.
Hardware.
And they've got a big base in, they've got an important naval base in Syria. And that is key for Russia.
Yeah.
But also, Syria gives them an important card to play in the Arab-Israeli conflict because they're in a neighboring state to Israel. And that gives them a lot of leverage.
Yeah. Josh Landris, I know, nobody wants to, be the predictor, but I'm going to ask you, with a couple minutes we have left, what do you see? Do you see this heading towards the Libyan outcome, Russia, China coming over to the side of the West, or do you see Syria actually closing down, shutting down, maybe taking steps backwards and cracking down and eliminating this pro-democracy movement?
I don't think that Syria can eliminate this pro-democracy movement. It's gone on too long. Too many people are invested in it. The entire Western international community has gotten behind it. Turkey is behind it. Saudi Arabia, the Arab League, as we've seen. Syria is very isolated. And Syria is a key player in the region. Many people would like to change this regime, separate Syria from Iran, and promote democracy. Now, on the other hand, the Syrian regime is not, increasingly this is turning into an ethnic battle with the Alawites and Christians, minorities in Syria, standing on one side, and the Sunnis increasingly separating themselves from the regime, although still many are loyal or sitting on their hands. But that's been the progression. And that means that, 25% of Syrians are minorities. And there are other people, rich Sunnis, that don't want collapse and revolution. So we're in for a long struggle, I think.
Yeah. Joshua Landis, director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma, author of the blog Syria Comment, will link you up. Joshua, thank you so much for literally running in to talk to us today.
It was a pleasure.
We appreciate it.